And welcome back to your Radiant Life podcast. This is your host, Jessica Shuruk. So I just went on the most epic, amazing, life-changing trip. I was away for 7.5 months total. I went to Costa Rica for 4 months, Mexico for 3 months, well, a little over 3 months, I think. And then I was in the States for a week doing coaching training. And now I'm back in Canada. So I wanted to do an episode recapping some of the details of this trip because it was so expansive for me, and I really hope this episode, like, the goal is to help people, like, expand their mind to see what's possible for them, especially if you want to do something like travel or relocate, move to a new country, maybe do some sort of healing work, meet new people, that sort of stuff, because that's all the stuff that I was doing on this trip. And I just feel like I feel so proud of myself. And I'm trying to, like, feel that feeling more often, because I realized a little while ago, I was always just never feeling, like, good enough or like I was doing enough. And I was never congratulating myself or really just soaking in the accomplishments that I had done and feeling proud. So I'm soaking in, because right now I'm quarantining, I'm soaking in the feeling of, wow, holy crap, I can't believe I just made this amazing trip happen. And I did it on, you know, a pretty low budget, honestly, too. So I hope that even shows you that you don't need, like, tons of money to make this sort of trip a reality. I did it on, like, a little, like, around, like, $2,000 per month was the budget, and that's, like, how much I spent by the end of it. But some months were, like, less than that, some months were more. So, yeah, that's just what it evened out to. But, yeah, I'm going to share with you a few different things about this trip. Things like what sparked this whole idea, like, why did I feel the urge to travel in the middle of a pandemic? What were my fears doing this? What obstacles and challenges did I overcome? And these were specific questions that someone had asked me. So I was like, okay, these are good things to cover. What else? Also, what the hardest part of being away was. And also, what was the best part and what my highlights were. So let's start with what sparked this whole idea. So initially, I actually planned a completely different trip. I had actually planned to go to Bali, and I had booked this trip, I think, last summer, and I was going to go with a friend, and we were going to go for a month. We were going to go for the month of November, and we had, like, the most gorgeous villa booked, and it was so affordable, and it was stunning, and it was in the perfect location in Bali. It was, like, really close to one of my favorite plant-based restaurants. And then it lined up that I was going to also go to this, like, goddess retreat or something hosted by Mel Wells, because it was going to be in Bali, and it was the week before we had this Airbnb booked. So I was like, this is perfect. This is a dream trip. I can't wait. But then I think it was maybe in, like, September, we found out that the borders to Bali weren't opening. I was like, oh no, this is devastating, because they were supposed to open. They were fully planning on it, scheduled it. Or it was, like, whatever. I had read somewhere in, like, an article it was going to happen. So, you know, and I was like, I'm going to go ahead and book these things because I really wanted to do this retreat. And I got a really good price for the Airbnb, and I didn't want someone else to book it. But thankfully, I got everything refunded. So that was good. Really happy about that. But I still wanted to go away. I still wanted to go on a trip, even though Bali, I wasn't going to make that happen. And I guess, like, my whole, like, vision for Bali was I just wanted, like, to go away for a month, change the scenery to, I don't know, be somewhere beautiful, take lots of, like, pretty photos, videos, be with a friend, do lots of just, like, girl hangouts, you know, like, swimming, going to the beach, going to restaurants, that sort of stuff. And just, like, a change in routine, really. And then I was, like, fully planning on coming back so I could be home for Christmas and be with family and all that. And it also lined up because I think she had, like, my friend I was going to go with, she had plans in Bali for, like, the month of October and December. Like, I think she had other trainings or retreats that she had booked. So that's why this also worked out, is because I want to go away. She was already going to go. So this month was, like, kind of like the perfect timing. But yeah, that didn't happen. Intuitively, I felt actually this pull to go to Tulum, Mexico. And I, for some reason, had this feeling like I need to go do this alone. But I was really nervous to go alone. Like, I remember last fall thinking, like, I feel like I need to do this, but I'm really nervous. Like, I've been on trips alone. I'm trying to think of how many trips I've been on, like, where I was actually just, like, alone, alone. Well, I went to Bali for 2 weeks alone, and I did Costa Rica last winter in 2020, like, January, February 2020. I went that to, and did that alone, but I was in a community, so I had met people. And when I did Bali, I stayed in a hostel, so it's easy for me to meet people as well. And Tulum, I was like, I don't want to do a hostel. I kind of wanted to do an Airbnb, but I was like, how am I going to meet people? Like, is this town going to be dead? Like, is it going to, like, is anyone going to even be there? Am I going to be bored? Are things going to be open? And also, Tulum's kind of expensive, and I only had a certain amount of money saved. And I was like, okay, I'm going to blow through that a lot faster in Tulum than Bali, because Bali was so affordable. So I was feeling that. I remember feeling that very clearly. And then another idea had come to me about going back to Costa Rica and doing the same work exchange program and staying in the community that I did earlier in the year. But instead of just going for 6 weeks, I was like, okay, I want to go for longer. I was like, I want to go for 3 months. And I was like pondering this idea. I was like, okay, actually, this does sound good because it's going to be more affordable. I've been there. I feel comfortable there. I'm pretty sure there'll be people there because, like, it's a community. Like, there's going to be other humans. I'll meet people. So, I kind of was like, okay, I'm feeling actually a lot better about that option over the Tulum option. And because I got to go for longer, it meant, oh, I could actually miss more winter, which is always my goal when I'm traveling. Like, I just don't like winter at all. So I would be going for November, December, and January. And I remember the last time I went to Costa Rica, I remember I felt so much healthier. I lost some weight, was eating really healthy. I met a lot of like-minded people. I really did a lot of work on myself. I got to, like, have fun, relax at the beach, and all that sort of stuff. So I was like, okay, remember, I had a really great experience last time. And I had no intentions of going back, really, but it just kind of seemed like the right thing to do and the best option for me. And Costa Rica was opening their border beginning of November. And I had, like, read somewhere, whatever, that was the plan. But I was really hesitant to obviously book this trip because I didn't want to book it and then have it, like, not pan out, like the whole Bali thing. And I know if I were to pay a deposit for this community, I wouldn't get that deposit back. So I kind of was holding off to see what was going to happen. And then, you know, lo and behold, the border did open, and you didn't even need at the time a COVID test to go to Costa Rica, but I did need one to enter the community. So I had to plan that and get that. It was like a few days into November. I remember I booked my flight on a Tuesday and I flew out on a Thursday, like 2 days later. So yeah, that's, I guess, what sparked the idea. And I mean, there was another little piece. I actually had also, like, I already had on my own wanted to go travel, but I also had, like, I meet with a psychic maybe, like, once or twice a year, and I've been meeting with her now, like, I think we've met a total of 4 times now. And she had told me in our most recent meeting that she predicted this, that I was going to go away in the fall/winter, and that I was going to, you know, meet, basically I was going to meet a guy and all this stuff. And yeah, so I feel like the fact that she also had told me that, it was like, okay, like, it kind of gave me an extra nudge to, like, go make this trip happen, because I was like, well, if a psychic said I'm supposed to meet someone traveling, like, I can't just stay cooped up in Canada. That's no fun. So that was another thing that kind of sparked the idea and gave me that nudge. So what were my fears? Well, my fears with this trip. So I was a little bit nervous about flying, but not really, because I had flown to the US in September to do something for work, and that was fine. Like, nothing, like, you just wear a mask on the plane. They have, like, hand sanitizer stationed everywhere. But other than that, like, airports felt really chill to me, and like they didn't feel like stressful or like scary. So I wasn't really too worried about flying and that whole experience because I had done that during the pandemic once, and I was like, okay, it was fine. Like, honestly, the worst part was just getting back into the country because Canada seemed was like really strict and the border security people weren't very nice. But besides that, the whole flying experience was totally fine. Another fear, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the COVID test. I had to do that to enter the community. It was uncomfortable, a little bit painful, kind of like smelt and tasted chemicals like for like several hours after that. I don't know what's on those things. It was nasty though. But again, like I was like worth it to go to this place. Also I was oddly more afraid about being trapped in Canada than getting stuck abroad. Like that was internally like in my thought process, like the fears that I had. I was like, I do not want to get stuck in this country because I had this feeling like they're going to shut things down. They're going to shut the flights down. They're going to like shut the country down. Like I just need to get out before that happens. Like I need to get out. I need to get out. So that's why I like booked my flight and like flew out really soon afterwards once I knew the borders were open to Costa Rica. And I was like, honestly, if I'm stuck abroad, like way better than being stuck in Canada. Like I was like, I'm okay with that. And oh, what else was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah, because, like, I don't know why. It wasn't really that big of a fear because I kind of felt like, you know, I'm Canadian. Like, they can't, like, keep me out of the country, like, locked out forever. Like, they're going to have to let me back in at some point. But I was more afraid, yeah, of being just, like, trapped and locked in the country, especially during winter, especially when the country was going into lockdown. And honestly, I did predict that pretty well because they did go into lockdown like shortly after, and things weren't really like flights weren't happening. I don't know, well, like I guess they were kind of, but like most travel was like shut down. So another fear of mine was that no one was going to be at the community and that I'd be all alone. I wouldn't meet anyone and I wouldn't make any friends, and that's just because I thought, well, like, what if no one applies to do this work exchange program because travel's so restricted all around the world and there's, like, not that many people there and, like, I'm bored. I'm there for 3 months. Like, oh, that's going to be so lame. But I'm really glad not the case at all. I met so many wonderful people. Maybe I'll, like, talk more about that. What else? Also, when I was there, I was happy because it was like really warm and hot tropical weather, but it was raining a lot. Like the rainy season was still happening. So in November, and sometimes it's quite rainy in September, October, and I guess into November. And I knew it was going to get hotter. I knew it was going to be sunnier, but still there's like that little bit of fear. I was like, oh my God, I came here because I wanted sunshine and warmth, and it's raining like all the time. And it's like flooding. Like the ground was just like so soaked and muddy and gross and all that. So there was like a little bit of fear once I arrived, like, did I make the right decision? I really pray the weather's gonna get better. And again, it did. It was all good. It was beautiful, honestly. And I think something that people probably think I might have been worried about, but I wasn't at all, was my health. Like I was just honestly not worried about my health. Like actually a big reason why I wanted to go was because I knew this was going to be the healthier like choice for me to make. I knew being in nature was better for like me mentally, emotionally, physically, like my whole nervous system would feel more calm. I know that sun affects my health so much. Like it really affects my mood. Like I feel like I get depressed when I don't have sun. Also eating really healthy, that affects you physically, but also mentally. And in this community, it's all plant-based. And I remember I felt really, really good the first time I went. So again, just things that, man, if I'm locked in a house with like no sun, no nature, no fresh air, and I'm more tempted to eat like junk food, like I know what the better decision is for my health. And I know being in this type of environment is going to improve all areas of health. And it'll definitely strengthen my immune system. So yeah, I didn't really feel nervous about it. I felt like actually really good about that. And personally, I'm just not really nervous about a virus with a 99% survival rate that has flu-like symptoms. I won't get into that, but that's just personally not something I'm worried about. For me, I was actually way more worried about the government and their restrictions and lockdowns and shutting businesses down and them like fining people and all this stuff that they're doing. Like, to me, that's like more scary than this virus. Like, I'm more worried about a very controlling, corrupt government. So anyways, just my personal viewpoint on it. And I was like really happy to get out, let's just say that. But also on this whole trip, like I conquered a lot of fears and I like experienced a lot of fears. I feel like I felt for me at least, the three like biggest human fears. Like, if you can think of others, let me know. But I'm like, I don't know what's bigger than these fears. But I felt the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, and the fear of death. And I'm here. So like, survived them all. Like, it's so funny when you think like, oh my God, it's so scary. Like, I'm so afraid, and you like can't get through it. But then you get through it and you're like, oh, okay, it wasn't so bad. But yeah, like, I won't get into like too lengthy of stories for those. Like, fear of rejection was just telling someone like I like them, I'd be curious what like where this would go, and then being like, oh, I'm not interested in you, and being like, okay, honestly, it wasn't that bad. Like, to feel that feeling of rejection, I was like, oh, it's almost like the more it happens, you almost become a bit desensitized, and you're like, oh, it's like not really a big deal. And the fear of failure was I did something with related to work, and I'll just tell what it was. I launched a mastermind and it just did not go as planned, and I felt like really like discouraged, and I definitely felt like, oh my God, I'm a failure. But then after I really like let that feeling of failure pass, I was like, oh, honestly, it's not even a big deal. Like, I'm like totally fine with it, and you just like onwards and upwards, like onto the next thing. And it's just funny because at least those two fears, like, people literally don't chase dreams or like go after their goals because they're so scared of failing. And like, if they can just fail once and see like, okay, it sucks, but like, it's really not that big of a deal, then like, I don't know, it's just like you just have this newfound like liberation, like, oh my God, it's what have I been holding myself back from this whole time? Like, failing is like really not that big of a deal. You just like refine your approach and like try something again or like pivot or whatever. And then the fear of rejection, I just think too, like, how many times do people like someone or have feelings or they want to like pursue something, but they think I'm not good enough, or what if they reject me? I'm so scared. Oh no. But like, I would rather like be honest and upfront and at least put myself out there and be like, okay, at least I know that door is closed, than to never say anything and always have that wonder in the back of my mind, like, well, what if this happened? Like, what if I said something? What if I like shared how I felt or whatever? Like, what could have been? Like, to me, that is so much worse, so much worse. So anyways, I felt those two fears on this trip, and I'm feeling like way better about it all, way more like invincible, honestly. And then the whole fear of death, well, that's a whole long story, but I went through this thing called an ego death, and it happened after I did, like, a couple days after I did ayahuasca. And basically, an ego death feels like you are actually dying, and I was freaking out, and I was like so scared, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm dying. And it was really terrifying. Like, I'm laughing about it now, but it was really terrifying in the moment. And it's a long story. Maybe I'll save it for a whole other podcast because it's kind of long. But I didn't die. And I felt like really just a part of you dies, like part of your identity, the ego, part of your ego dies. And then it's like this rebirth feeling. And you're like, oh my God, a whole new chapter. And it feels really good and like really fresh and really exhilarating. And like, you're this new, like, improved version of yourself. But I really felt like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. And now that I've felt that feeling, I'm like, okay, all right, felt it, went through that, still here, still standing strong. So it feels good to come out the other side and to not have died. So what next question that I got asked was, what obstacles and challenges did I overcome on this trip? Okay, so first was the whole trip to Bali being canceled and like the border not opening. And that was a challenge, I would say. I could have easily freaked out and just been like pissed and disappointed and like, you know, just so stuck on like, I really want to go to Bali. It was going to be perfect, you know, but I had to just be flexible, be open, just be like, okay, if it's not Bali, I still want to go somewhere. I'm open to it being somewhere else. I'm opening to this trip evolving into something that I did not predict, and just trusting that this is like all meant to be, like this is all playing out like for my greatest good. So I had to, you know, overcome that and like go about the process of getting things refunded, which I'm glad that worked out. And then I had to research, well, what countries are open? What are the rules to get in? And that sort of stuff. So yeah, I definitely could have let that even just stop me right from the get-go. Also, just the fact that everyone was like freaking out with like, you know, things going on in the world, right? Like rightfully so. I could have let that fear like really get to me and be like, I'm not going to leave. I'm scared. Like I'm not going to live my life. I'm not going to whatever, take this next step. Or let people's like opinions like get to me, like be like, why are you doing this? Like, I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's selfish. I think it's like irresponsible or whatever. I was just like, nope. Not letting outside opinions affect me, not letting their fears, their judgments get to me. Like, I know intuitively this is like what I need to do and it's the right decision. So that was a whole other obstacle. Another one was, well, I kind of found like the trip, the 3 months I was at the community, the obstacles I faced there was more like, I was doing so much inner work, and it was like day to day, my mood was just kind of like all over the place and new things were coming up. And like I said, I went through like an ego death and I did all these workshops that brought up all these past memories and really difficult moments. And I was just like working through a lot of things, but that wasn't really an obstacle with like making the trip happen. That was just what I was going through personally. But after the 3 months in the community, I knew that I wasn't ready to come back to Canada. I was like, I really don't want to come back. It's February. It's still cold. Things are still in lockdown. So the challenge was, well, now what am I going to do? Because I couldn't extend at the community. So that was kind of its own little challenge. And I love phrasing it as like a challenge or an obstacle versus like a problem. Because it really even just using the right, like changing the words that you use, like reframes the whole situation. So I always see it as like, okay, challenge slash obstacle. It's never a problem. It's just something for me to overcome, strengthening me, helping me grow, be more resilient. So yeah, I remember I was like, I don't want to go back. So I asked the community, could I extend and like stay in my casita? I was like living in this cute little like casita overlooking the forest. And they're like, no, it's booked. You can't. So they said I could camp. But I was like, I really don't want to camp. That doesn't sound like a great option. And I was looking at like, just like other options, but there wasn't really anything affordable. And I was like, maybe I could like share a casita with someone, but I was like, oh, none of these are really sound great. And then a really great option came in, and that was, I had some friends that I made there suggest, let's get a house together for a month. And I was like, yes, that sounds perfect. I'm so in. What a great opportunity. Like it was even better than staying at the community, because I was like, I'm kind of, after 3 months, I was like over it. Not over it, but I was like, my time here is done. It's finished. I feel content, and like it's come to its own resolution, and I was ready for something new. And I knew I wasn't ready to go back to Canada. So I had like these options in front of me. I was like, go back to Canada. Don't like that. Stay in a community. Didn't really like it, slash it wasn't even really an option. And then there was get house with friends. And then there was still that gut feeling of go alone to Mexico. But I was like, I'm still nervous to go alone to Mexico, so I didn't really want to do it. I was like, let's just stay in Costa Rica and get a house with friends for a month. And it worked out really well because Costa Rica, when you go and visit, you get a visa for 3 months and then you have to leave the country to renew it. But they extended their visas for a month for everyone who came in the country in like the month of November, which is when I came in or something like that. Or if you came in earlier as well. I think November was the cutoff. I don't really know. So basically they extended it so we were allowed to stay in the country an extra month without like legally. So there was like nothing we did wrong there. So I was like, oh, perfect. Like literally, how perfect is that? And then like I had one of the girls like that I was staying with, she found the house and it was the most amazing house. I researched a car rental. What else? Someone else kind of messaged, we messaged like some other people and we got a group of six of us. So it was pretty cool like how the whole like trip came together. And yeah, so that was kind of like my own little challenge with that. And then at the house, something that happened was I was really not feeling as content as I was hoping. I felt like there was like some tension with the people in the house and just some boundaries were crossed. That's just personally how I was feeling. Even though I had still a really great time, I was like, okay, I don't really feel like I want to stay longer here because they were all talking about extending and staying longer than a month. And also, I couldn't film any content for the course I was creating, Embodiment, because the cicadas were so loud. There was no, like, even when I was inside, like, inside, outside, whatever, you could hear them. And I was like, oh my God, I can't film anything here. And this is like, that was something I was really working on that whole month. And that was like its own problem. So, because of those few reasons, I was like, okay, well, now where am I gonna go after this house? And I knew deep down, like, okay, I should go to Mexico because I still feel this pull. So, another obstacle I'd overcome was, well, like, and I was thinking too, like, if I found a really cute, like, Airbnb in Mexico, that would be, like, quiet and, like, really attractive. It'd be the perfect place for me to film this course. So it'd be, like, worth it for me to go just to do that and to be alone, right? Like, not have all these roommates I'm living with be around me so I could have privacy too. So honestly, it's kind of funny, but, like, the whole living in the house in Costa Rica gave me the courage and the motivation to go finally to Mexico on my own. So the obstacle I faced was that with that was I was researching Airbnbs one night when I was like, okay, I think this is the right decision for me. Let's just see what I can find online. And I found like the perfect one, and then I waited a few days because like seeing like how things would play out with everyone and if it still felt like the right decision. And then I remember I went back to check because I was like, okay, I'm gonna book it. Like, it feels like the right thing to do. And then it was booked by someone else. And again, this could have been a moment where I was like, oh, I give up. It just wasn't meant to be. Like, the Airbnb I wanted that was like a good price and cute and beautiful, was booked. So, yeah. But I did not do that. I decided. No, this is booked because that means there is something better waiting for me, like a better place for me to stay. And then, with a bit more research, I literally found a better Airbnb. Like, it was more cute. It was a penthouse, it had a pool, it was overlooking this like forest area and the ocean. And it was like adorable, and it was literally perfect, and it was like slightly cheaper. So I was like, yes, knew it. Persistence pays off. So that was another challenge and obstacle I overcame. Something else was, this is like a funny thing, but I didn't have a SIM card, so my phone wasn't working. I remember having trouble finding the Airbnb in Mexico when I arrived, and I arrived like super late at night. It was like 3 a.m. in a taxi, driving around Playa del Carmen, trying to find this Airbnb. I feel like anybody else probably would have been like freaking out at that point because you're like, oh my God, I can't call anyone. The taxi driver's getting annoyed because he can't find the Airbnb. Like, I literally could be stranded here in Mexico, not know anyone, female, right? Like alone on the streets. But again, it all worked out. I didn't let stress take over. And we found the place. Thank God. Well, okay, so I have a couple other obstacles that I had to overcome during this whole trip. So something else that happened was I was in Mexico, had booked my Airbnb for a month. I started, I met this really amazing guy when I was there, and we went on a few dates, and we built this like really, you know, strong, deep connection really fast. And I was like, oh my God, I like him so much. I just like really enjoyed being around him. He was amazing. And then I found out he got out of a relationship a few months before coming to Mexico and meeting me. And he wasn't at the time looking for another relationship. And I knew for myself, I feel ready for a relationship. It's something that I'm like, I want to meet the right person for me. I want to keep space for that. So I don't want to, you know, I'm dating with the intention of like, I want to meet my person. I don't want to just like date casually for fun and be like, whatever. Like, I'm just meeting people and don't care. I'm like, no, if I'm going to like keep dating you and spending time with you and investing in you, right? Like, I want to know that that has at least the potential to go somewhere. Like, they're also open to that. Like, if for some reason it doesn't work out because we don't click or we're not compatible, that's a different story. But anyways, when I found that out, I remember I was so heartbroken and just like so sad and devastated because I was like, I really have not felt so attracted to someone and so like this connection, this comfortability with them and like compatibility. I just felt so amazing in his presence. It was like a really, it was like short and fast, but like really fun, really meaningful. But I remember feeling so sad when that ended. And I, at the time, was like, we met at the end of the month. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to extend my Airbnb another month because I really like this guy and I want to see where this goes. And I'm really happy in Mexico and I'm really enjoying my time here. So I extended my Airbnb, and then this connection ended. And then I was just so, so sad. Like, that was such a rough, it was honestly like only like a day or two that I was really upset. But that day was rough. Like, I feel like I was more upset like over that than like even past relationships ending where I dated someone like for months or years. I think it's just because like you, that feeling of when you meet someone and you're like, oh my God, I haven't met anyone like you. Like, this is just like, I've been on a lot of dates, so I have a lot of things to compare, like a lot of different people to compare it to. And yeah, I've just have not met someone like him. So it's just a little bit hard when, you know, it's like your hopes are kind of up and you're just like really excited and hopeful and like, I don't know, just feeling like, oh my God, yay, this is it. This is the person. Like, I finally feel like all those amazing feelings. But yeah, so that was like a whole other obstacle challenge that I faced and experienced, and not fun, not pleasant. But actually, it's kind of funny that the psychic had also predicted. Actually, yeah, I told you guys earlier in this episode, she basically predicted that that was going to happen. Like, she's like, you're going to meet someone. It's going to be short, but like kind of like fast, but like impactful, all in a short period of time. And I'm really going to like him. And it's going to be really difficult to leave and end it and all this stuff. So I was like already actually kind of mentally prepped for something like this happening. But yeah, when it did happen, I was like, man, that was still difficult to go through. But I mean, it's been a while now, so I'm over it. It's all good. That was in April. So then April comes and I'm like, I still feel like, and I'm in Playa del Carmen this whole time. And as I've mentioned a few times, I kept having this intuitive feeling to go to Tulum, but I didn't go because I was scared of being alone. And then when I finally did go to Mexico alone, I went to Playa del Carmen because it was more affordable than Tulum. But then I was talking to my friend about it and they're like, you're already in Mexico. Tulum's like not even an hour drive away from Playa del Carmen. Might as well just go for a month before you go back to Canada to see why you feel so called to go there. And I was like, you're right. I need to stop making excuses. I keep ignoring my intuition. I need to go to Tulum. And I was like, I don't really want to live alone. Like, it's kind of after 2 months of doing that in Mexico, I was like, I don't really want to, like, yeah, I just like didn't want to be alone anymore because you kind of get a little bit bored. And I don't know, just the company's nice. And Tulum's expensive and I was on a budget, so a roommate would have been nice to share the cost. And then, amazingly enough, my friend Reagan, who was in a previous episode, he was in the plant-based episode like 2 episodes back. He said he also wanted to go to Tulum as well. And then he's like, why don't we just get a place together? And I was like, yes, this is the answer to my problem. So that was awesome. So we lived together for a month in Tulum and it was an amazing experience. Such a fun time. So that was my solution, which actually fell into my lap, for that whole challenge. And finally, made it to Tulum after months of having this pull. And honestly, I'm so glad I did go because I now know after being there that, like, that is the place for me. Like, I need to go back there, actually. Like, that is where I just feel it within me. Like, that's where I'm meant to be. Like, oh, it's, like, such a cool feeling. But I just see myself going back. And maybe I never would have felt that feeling if I didn't go there, right? Like, how... Like, so yeah, it's just cool to see how all these like steps played out. Like every time I overcame like that present challenge, it just led me to the next step. And it's just crazy because like, what if I all the way back in the fall didn't like, what if I was like, oh, Bali got canceled. Okay, I give up. Like no trip then. It's like, what if I didn't stay persistent? You know, what if I wasn't persistent about getting that money refunded? Because that obviously helped pay for this. Or what if I was like, didn't go live with those friends in the house afterwards and I decided, okay, I'll just go back home. Like I did my 3 months, like that's what I planned. Or what if I didn't meet this guy and then extend in Playa del Carmen, you know? Or even what if I didn't go to Mexico at all and I didn't meet this guy? Because that was like a really big, you know, expansive learning experience for me. It's like, wow. Like just like looking back, I'm like, so many times when I could have let the present challenge or obstacle stop me and I was just like, nope, I'm plowing through, taking the next step. So yeah, again, I'm just like feeling so proud just thinking back, just like being determined. Okay, so that was like a long explanation. I'll try to make the next parts not as long. But the hardest part of being away, funny enough, it's because it was being away from my cat Esther. I missed her so much. And yes, I missed my family, of course, and my friends, but I was able to FaceTime and text them often and I kept in touch with them. And I was always updating them, sending them photos. I posted on Instagram, they were able to like see what I was up to. So, you know, it was like hard, but like it wasn't that bad to be away from them. Like I missed them, of course, but I made it a priority, like, to still maintain contact. But with Esther, I just felt so guilty leaving her because, like, she's a cat, so she doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know where I went. She doesn't know when I'm coming back. I didn't even know when I was coming back. And I was like, I miss her. And I was just always looking at videos and photos of her on my phone. And, yeah, I don't know. It was just sad because she's like my little baby and I love cuddling her every day. I wake up to her and she's always like sitting on me and like she's always like headbutting me and like rubbing herself on me and she's like the most loving, affectionate kitty. She's like so sweet. So yeah, I really just missed having her, and especially when I was having more difficult days and I was just like in bed like feeling kind of sad and stuff, like because she's like the perfect little cuddle buddy when I'm feeling down. So another hard part about being away, and I kind of mentioned this, but it was just some of the days were like pretty low days when I was in Pachamama, the community. Because the community, I describe it, it's like this healing vortex. Like once you enter, you get like sucked in and time is all warped and all of your baggage and stuff you haven't dealt with comes up. And it's like coming up so you can like look at it and work through it and heal it. And it's my second time going, so I was aware this was going to happen. But yeah, it was just, it's like, it was just like really intense. Let's just say that. And I went into the community with the intention of like, I want to heal stuff around the topic of like men and relationships. And I hadn't been on dates or like hadn't been seeing anyone like all of 2020, like especially with like the whole pandemic stuff and quarantining and all that. I was like just really not thinking about that or focused on it. I was more focused on business and coaching people and doing a training and traveling. I know I did a few trips actually, oddly, during pandemic. I mean, not like only like one out of the country, but one to Montreal and some to the cabin, things like that. And just like, you know, spending time with friends, I was focused on my health, things like that. But men were just completely off my radar. So when I entered Pachamama, you know, knowing, okay, I'm going to eventually meet a guy, says my psychic, and I'm going in with the intention of I want to heal stuff around this, you know, I was like, okay, like I'm ready for what's going to come up. But no, I was really not ready. Like stuff came up that I was like, whoa, this is intense. Like I'm glad, but damn, it was hard some days. So yeah, basically that was just another hard part of that whole trip is I was just working through a lot. And some days I was just crying a lot and processing and journaling and not like, I was just like, you know, going through my own like triggers, my own process. And thank God I like am familiar with this work. And like the things that I teach in embodiment are the things that I do. So I was like going through my own course, like, cause I know the steps while I was in this community, working through, you know, just like the past pain with like men, relationships, dating, my dad, all that sort of stuff. Because, oh my, it was quite a roller coaster. But again, I've made it through and I am honestly just grateful because I needed to go through that. I needed to clear so many things. And yeah, like my relationship with men and masculine energy and all that has definitely improved. And I feel so much better in that area of life. So really grateful for that time. But yeah, when I was in it, it was like, whew, it was a lot. And then what was the best part or the highlights of being away? Honestly, the fact that I wasn't cooped up at home, that I didn't have to, you know, be in lockdown and just be working from my laptop every day and like watching TV at night and just like all those home activities, you know, I was like, I am so grateful that my experience right now is the complete opposite from that, which could have easily been my reality if I didn't take the initiative to go away. And I remember I would remind myself that daily, like, oh my God, you could be experiencing something so different right now. Like, how grateful are you? Wow. Because I was waking up in, you know, this like really amazing open air casita and I was overlooking beautiful forests. I would do yoga or dance in the morning, like these classes that they would host. I'd eat breakfast outside and like eat with friends and or be reading. And I would be just like wearing, you know, really girly, flowy dresses. I was walking a lot every day, surrounded by plants and flowers, soaking up the sun. I would have lunch with like 40 other people who were also part of the work exchange program I did. Could have like lovely afternoon naps and walks to the river and spend afternoons at the beach. And I'd meditate and have dinner with the whole community. So there'd be like tons of us all getting together for that every evening. And then after dinner, a lot of us would all hang out in this little like cafe and like be lounging on couches and stuff and like eating chocolates and just like pulling tarot cards and just like catching up and stuff like that. And that is extremely different than what I could have been experiencing, right? Like, I just felt like, wow, I'm like really living. Like, this is how I want to live my life. Like, I love being in nature. I love having my freedom. I love being in community. And those are the things that I was really missing the most, you know, being in lockdown, especially in winter, right? Because it's in Canada when it's cold and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going outside. And like no public places are open. Yeah, you really miss those things, especially. So I was just so, so glad that I had that. And there were so many amazing workshops and ceremonies that I did too when I was in the community. I did a 5-day juice cleanse. That was amazing. I did this workshop called Primal Feelings Therapy, which was really powerful. Did a 1-day breathwork event. I did these like forest party things. They're called rock odysseys, but they're basically like a big group of people. You go down into the forest, you take different plant medicines, and there's a fire, and they play music all night, and you literally dance for like 15 hours. And they're so epic, and they're so much fun. And sometimes they're also difficult, because anytime you do some sort of like plant medicine, it's like, it's always there to like heal you and like help bring things up. So sometimes not so good things come up. Sometimes it's more heart opening and you feel more love and gratitude and like this feeling of unity and oneness. But sometimes you're also like, wow, a lot of not good things are coming up right now. But they're just really fun. Like, even if you have like some difficult parts, anytime like the morning comes, it's like, oh, you just feel so blissful and happy. And yeah, like I love dancing too. And I did so much dancing when I was away on this trip. Oh my God. And dancing like barefoot in a forest around a fire with like all of these amazing people that you're now friends with. Like, what is better than that? And one of the ceremonies actually was on New Year's Eve. And I was just thinking, like, what an epic New Year's Eve. Like, so amazing and beautiful and so fun. Like, yeah, just so memorable. Like, I've never had like a New Year's like that before, of course. But yeah, I also did like this other like teepee ceremony, and I did ayahuasca, which if you listen to last week's episode, you can hear my experience with that in more detail. So yeah, I did a lot of fun things when I was in the community. And then when I was in Mexico, well, even when I was in the house, because I had a whole month when I was in the house with friends, it's like all of these, this trip was so long. There's like chapters to it. There's like the community chapter, 3 months there. There was the chapter when I was in the house with friends for a month. Then there was the chapter when I spent 2 months in Playa del Carmen living alone. And then there was the chapter when I was in Tulum living with my friend Reagan. That's like 4 chapters. And man, like each chapter is just so amazing for different reasons. But yeah, I had a lot of fun living in the house, even though it was only for a month. Yeah, like what are some of the most memorable moments? Like I loved when we had dinner together. That was fun. And we just like all dance and like be silly on the grass and stuff together. And we explored waterfalls and that was fun. And we go to like the beach at sunset and that was really nice. And go to like dinner at restaurants and stuff. And even just like driving to the farmer's market and getting fresh fruits and groceries for the week, like that was always nice. So yeah, it was just like really sweet. Like we had a lot of good times and like good group chats too, like really opening up to each other. And then highlights when I was in the 2 months in Playa del Carmen alone. Well, it was good because I was able to really focus on my own work at the time, like launching my course, like filming everything, creating that, launching that. And I'm so happy to have my, you know, students, you know, the first round of students go through that. And I was going on like quite a few dates when I was in Playa del Carmen. Like I dated, like I said, that one guy for a few weeks and that ended. And then I got over that and kept dating and met a few other people. And that was kind of fun. Like, it's nice. Like, it's nice to just, like, meet people, even though it's, like, okay, it was just, like, one date. Like, there wasn't really a connection. Like, I don't see it going anywhere. But, like, still nice to, like, get to know another human, go for drinks, go for dinner. I remember one of the dates I went to, like, a picnic on the beach, and that was really cute. Another one, we just, like, got lunch and had the most, like, in-depth spiritual conversations, which I'm always down for that. And then another time went to, like, he invited me to, like, a trivia night at a restaurant with, like, some of his friends, and that was fun. So, yeah, like, those are just, like, fun times. And I also went to, like, a lot of classes on my own and did, like, some breath work, some sound healing, salsa dancing. Yeah, just, like, fun things like shopping and going to the beach a lot. I met some really great people in the building I lived in and made some good friends that way. Oh, went to ecstatic dance classes. That was fun. Oh, yeah. Yeah, things like that. It was, like, more me time. And then, I mean, I had enough me time, so I was also very excited to go to Tulum. And I had a really great time living with Reagan. Like, we get along so well. I loved when we would have, like, movie nights or, like, you know, go out to dinner together, go get groceries. I biked to the beach a couple times. That was really fun. I tried acro yoga for the first time and did a few classes of that. And that was amazing. Such a cool experience. Did more like sound healing stuff, swimming in our pool, tanning, that sort of thing. Went on more dates, which were very interesting. One date was like super cute and romantic. We were like, I mean, it was kind of like, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was like we had a good conversation at the beginning of our date, and I kind of thought like, oh, it's just going to be chill, whatever. But then it was just, whoa, we had so much in common, so much to talk about. And then he had a motorcycle, so I rode a motorcycle for the first time, which was really fun. And we rode it to the beach, and then we went to like a really cute like Italian restaurant for dinner on the beach. And we're just, like, cuddling on the beach afterwards. And it was, like, really fun and cute and stuff. So that was, like, that was fun. And we also went to Chichen Itza together. So, I mean, that was kind of cool. Like, just, and we went to Cenote. Went to Cenote and Chichen Itza. So, yeah, I mean, like, can't really, like, complain. I'm having, like, fun. I'm, like, 28. Living it up. Just, like, meeting people. Traveling. New experiences, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. I feel like I'll look back at this time and be like, yeah, it's pretty like epic. Oh yeah, and I remember I did also go with like another guy, and we went to a bar. Well, we got first just like met up on the beach, hung out, chatted, then we got dinner, and then we went to a bar and we're like dancing a little bit. And yeah, that was that night. And that was fun too. And just like again, getting to know new people. Yeah, but, like, I feel like my friendship with Reagan definitely, we just, like, got to know each other a lot better and, like, opened up, and it was really nice. It was just, like, a really nice experience to develop, like, a deeper friendship with a guy, because I don't have a lot of guy friends like that. So that was really great, and, yeah, just, like, recording a podcast together was a lot of fun, and... Yeah, we always just had like really, we had a lot of like deep talks. So, I mean, I'm down. Like, if I can have deep talks with someone, like, we're going to get along. Yeah, like, literally so many highlights to this trip. Like, it was a lot of fun. And it was really definitely made me grow a lot. And I feel clear on my next steps in life too, which is like a really like fun feeling to have. Like, I feel really hopeful and excited for the future. And even though I'm back home now, I actually feel really good about it. It feels nice to be like, okay, like I'm quarantining right now, but I'm gonna be able to catch up with friends and family in person. I've been cuddling with my kitty a lot. She's up here at the cabin with me. And Canada, the weather is nice now because it's June. So I'm like, okay, I successfully like skipped winter and made so many goals like come true in this time, because I've always wanted to like be gone like for all of winter, and this trip like turned out to be like just over 7 months. I'm like, this is crazy, and I did so much in that time. Yeah, and I changed a lot personally, so yeah, I'm just like, wow, how cool, how epic. Just feeling, yeah, so happy and accomplished and proud of this trip. And just like, yeah, really so excited for next steps, and like I can't wait to get back to Tulum. So yeah, that was a summary of my trip abroad and how that all happened. All right, let me know what you guys took away from this episode, if it encouraged you to face some of your fears, to travel, to put yourself out there with dating, to, I don't know, do your own healing work. And yeah, if you guys also want more details about my online course, Embodiment, I'm going to put the link in the show notes. But yeah, that's something that I did when I was away, is I created that and launched it. And like I said, I go through the steps myself with my own healing journey. And I feel like I've literally grown so much through this work. Oh, it makes me so happy. It makes me so happy that like how effective it is and how much it helped me. Like, I'm like, oh my God, thank God I had this when I was in that, you know, Pachamama vortex of like going through all the men healing situations. And like, thank God I had it when I was like feeling super heartbroken after like that dating, when I was dating that guy. And thank God I had it when I was just feeling like rejection and feeling failure, and I was going through my own ego deaths and all this stuff. And I was, you know, had my own fears, because it really helped me tackle and overcome all the fears I had experienced. So yeah, if you want more details on it, go to the show notes. You can go read the webpage, but it helps you really transform internally so you can create a life that you love and that's fulfilling. And so you can really just show up and be your best self every day, your most happy, fulfilled, empowered version of you. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you in next week's episode.